Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Get Micro Schooled with Kale Education and Company. Wanda and I are here on this fine Friday morning in Columbia, Missouri.
You just started off with a bang. Wanda and I.
It's been a little rainy and gloomy.
Gloomy. I mean, you can count on Missouri for a few things. Gloomy, gray winters.
Yeah. But then last week it was spring.
I know. It was spring.
So last week 80. It was 80. And today it's, I don't know.
Miserable.
40, 35, 40, something like that.
Yeah.
It feels colder probably than it is.
Oh, because you know the humidity that makes it so delightful to live here too. Oh my gosh. Listen to me.
It's delightful. I'm everyone, so cranky. Pick up and move to Columbia, Mo. It's beautiful. Wow. It's beautiful.
It's fantastic, really.
Beautiful city. There's lots of things to do here. Just don't move for the weather.
No, the weather's not. Don't, yeah.
Mm-mm. Don't move for the weather.
You know what? Like, so this whole opening, I just have to say, is it is a true reflection of March.
Mm-hmm.
To mid-April.
Yes.
In schools. Like that, I'm sitting
over
here.
I knew where you were going.
Laughing about that whole, like, gloomy, doomy intro, because that is educators in March to mid-April. And you know what? I would tell my staff, like, and they would just find, like, I just find this hysterical because it's so blessed true. This time of the year in the school building is like the family vacation that has gone on a week too long.
Yep.
You are all on a break. And it's okay to be on a break.
Yeah.
We need a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's happy with anybody.
No.
Nobody's happy with any. We've all overstayed
the welcome. That's true.
On the family vacay.
It is true. Yeah, it's that time of year. It is definitely almost spring break time, and we're not going anywhere this year. So I feel like, I mean, we're going down to the Lake of the Ozarks. Lake of the Ozarks, beautiful little town.
Sweet little
town.
I'm
gonna go spend some time at the spa down there, which is well worth the drive alone. But my mother lives there, and so we're gonna go spend a few days with her. But we're not. When I think about a trip, I'm getting on a plane.
Yeah,
you I'm don't. Getting on a plane and I'm going somewhere. And we had a spot picked out, and we couldn't find a dog sitter.
That's tragic.
It's right tragic. There.
That's tragic.
And so I'm here
because of the dog.
Because of the dog. And I don't get my husband started on that. Every time this happens, this is what he says to me: "This is your last dog." Enjoy the dog, because in the future, we're going to be able to travel. We're going to be able to go wherever we want to go, whenever we want to go there. Enjoy the dog.
He makes it sound like you guys don't have other obligations that are going to keep you.
No, it's just the dog.
For those of you that have older kids like I do, I want you to know that Jill has a fourth grade boy who will play the sports, right? So what tickles me about Jill, here's my delusions of spring break left long ago when my boys became baseball players, because now, I mean, you have to play baseball in high school over the spring break.
Oh, that's terrible.
Because, I mean,
that's so
they're
terrible.
All getting Division I's. How could we not play right. more games over spring break for these future superstars? And so my little friend,
we don't
Jill.
Play baseball.
Yet.
No, we don't play baseball.
You cannot just tell him no.
No,
Jill.
No, he doesn't like it. It's too slow.
That's dumb. Like, it is slow. It is slow at that
age. He doesn't
age, like
but it.
He asked you the other day to play and you said no.
And I reminded him, you don't
Why
like
are you?
It.
That's terrible. That's terrible parenting.
I have Jeez. To. Then I have to make him go to the games.
Okay, fine, Jill. Fine. He'll be playing basketball. You want him? He's going to play basketball? He's going to play basketball.
It's an indoor sport.
You're still going to be traveling.
I do prefer that.
Like, you and Devin need to get this delusion that your life is yours until he graduates from high school, because it's not yours.
Mm. Well, he is talking post high school. I mean,
you have a minute.
Our sweet Baxter's young. He's just a young pup. I better have him for a long time.
What I'm
saying
is,
he's my baby.
Baxter's a young pup. Your little boy is a young pup.
I know.
Everybody's a young pup.
We got
but
lots
us,
of
Jill,
years. Oh,
we,
I know.
No, we are not.
Girl, I know.
We mm-hmm. are not young pups.
Some of us are younger than others.
See, why do you got to make me want to be Chep right now? See, that stuff right there, is that's the nonsense that makes me break up with you.
I am going to be 47 here in a couple weeks.
Yeah. 47.
47.
No, you're no spring
Finally
chicken.
47.
Fine. Oh my gosh. She didn't even know how old she was.
I didn't know how old I was. I thought I was 47 last year, and it was a great surprise to get the whole year of 46 back. It was. I mean, I.
What in the actual.
I chuckle, but it's actually
true. It's a great surprise.
It was a great surprise. I remember vividly, I was driving down the road and one of my childhood friends, Bekendra, I don't know if you ever listened, but love you. She's getting married soon. So happy for her.
Whoa.
A sidetrack.
Okay.
But anyway, she had posted about her birthday and it said something about, you know, 46 is going to be the best yet. And I thought to myself, oh, sweet girl, you're 47. You've lost track of time. Thing. And I kept, then I thought maybe she had shared a memory, you know? So I'm like, I'm spending a minute looking at this. And then I look at my husband and I go, am I only 45? And he goes, yeah.
As a matter of fact.
And I go, well, I spent this entire year telling people I was 46. And so it turns out I got like the whole year back. I got to be 46 again.
That's really exciting.
It was exciting. You know, I mean, there are moments when I've lost track of time or had to remember how old I was, but I like legitimately spent the whole year because I learned it in February and my birthday was in April.
You just say I learned it.
I learned it.
I learned this fact of my birth age.
I learned it in February and my birthday was in April. I mean, I literally almost got a whole year. It's very exciting. So, I mean, I feel okay 47.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because, I mean, why not?
48 feels like the downhill slide to 50.
Oh, well, let me just tell you. Say bye-bye. 40s.
So I'm going to enjoy the year. I'm going to enjoy the year. And
so anyway, this whole thing started because you don't get to go on spring break. And what I need to tell you is I'm just ripping this Band-Aid off for you. Bye-bye, spring breaks. Bye-bye. They're going. Until that little boy's out of high school. And then, by the way, this is where I was going. Mm. Then, by the way, you and Devin are not young.
Oh,
so sorry. Elsa. Love ya.
Then we're just going to want to stay home anyway.
Yeah, you are.
I know.
I mean, by the time Baxter kicks the bucket and Maddox is in college, fine. Devin doesn't have to replace the dog. You're going to be in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank on your back.
I already have an oxygen tank.
Oh, my gee. Your lips finally stopped chapping.
Well, they're still red.
She got herself a sleeping device.
I got myself a CPAP, ladies and gentlemen.
She
and
calls me
I
old.
Sleep better than I've ever slept in my life.
But she's so excited. It wore like this
it's
huge red thing.
I got
around.
A big red mark around my face every morning. I have to cover it up with makeup. But you know what? Worth it.
Worth it.
Worth it.
But she calls me old.
So I lay there in the morning just to get a few more breaths of that.
A few more deep
good
breaths.
Good air coming through. I'm telling you.
Just a game changer.
Oh, it's a game changer. I've never been so happy. In fact, I went and checked in with the respiratory people and they were like, you're doing like most people don't like this. I go, oh, I love it. I love that
they
machine.
Don't know that your favorite spot in the whole planet is the bed under
my heated blanket with my CPAP on my face.
They just don't understand who they're working with.
My husband is like, I have gone from fun to old, like overnight.
Awesome. But don't worry. She's bummed about her spring break.
I am.
We went to Nashville to celebrate my birthday. And here's my little friend who prides herself in being the youngest in the crew.
Yep.
Walking down the airport terminal with her little CPAP machine in her hand.
Oh, I did.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. I said,
Wanda goes, did you bring that? I go, heck yeah, I brought it.
In the
actual world. Are you kidding?
Come on, Granny.
Of course I brought it.
Come on. All right, Jill.
Anyway, okay. So as we get to the real episode for the day, we're going to talk reading curriculum today. Happens to be my favorite topic.
Yeah, it does.
Happens to be my favorite topic.
This is where Suze is out. Wanda out. I'm just kidding.
Wanda's so good at this. She likes to say she doesn't teach reading. She does. I can genuinely say I don't teach math. That's all you. I don't even know the words on the charts that she has.
Oh,
in her
that's
room.
So funny.
I don't.
Oh my gosh.
I am a reading person through and through. I've never been a math person. I was not a good math student. I, you know, I got through it.
Yeah.
But I've never really understood it. But reading is my jam.
Yeah, she can I talk about morphology till you want to cry.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
All right. So,
many students struggle to read, 1 in 5, actually. And knowing how to help them is really important.
Yeah.
And there is, there are really good ways to help. And so it has been one of my missions in life to make sure that everyone knows how to do this, regardless of what you teach or how you teach, whether you're in public ed or private ed or homeschooling or have a pod or have a micro school or whatever it is. I genuinely want to help because, if we catch them early and we give them the right instruction, then it's saving lives for children,
for sure.
And, that's important to me. So it all starts with knowing what they know, right? So you have to find a good assessment. That's really step one that tells you as the educator, the tutor,
parent,
you know, whatever role you're playing, you have to have a good assessment. And there are really good free ones out there, which I am always a proponent of. No one has more time or more money.
Yep.
And then the barrier, of course, is learning how to administer it. And that can be difficult if you don't have the background. And so I'm going to tell you three places you can go to get a good assessment. And then I have on our website, oh, ladies and gents. So we all have best intentions, right? Yeah. So our website right now says that I already have a course available. I don't have that course available yet. But I'm still really working on that course.
Yeah.
And that course is coming soon. We are working on it right now. And so it really, you have to find someone who knows how to do these things that can help you. And I would love to be that person.
Yeah. And I was going to say, we can definitely be that person too. We can. The world has shrunk significantly with the
being able to help people,
Zoom and those things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I would tell you, as someone without the extensive reading background that Jill has, that I administer these assessments.
Yeah.
And
they're not hard.
They're not hard. And I truly love doing it, especially as one of their classroom teachers, because it just makes it's what you want in education, right? It's why we're doing micro schools or it's why we're doing homeschools more and more, because we're assessing for a purpose now. And what I love about these assessments you're getting ready to share is that they're applicable in what I see in their learning right this minute.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel good to understand, oh, well, that's why this kiddo's struggling with this. Or, oh my gosh, not only do I have an assessment, I know you're going to get into this next, but here's what I can do about it.
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage those of you, because some of these you might not have heard of, but that does not matter. And just don't let that scare you, because heaven knows if Wanda can do it, you can too.
Wanda's more skilled than she gives herself credit for. But so there are three good ones that I would point you in the direction of first as a screener. And there's lots of words that are involved with learning about reading. And a screener just means a very quick assessment that kind of tells you if there's a red flag in various areas. And so, again, you have to kind of know what you're looking at. And we would love to help you on that. But the three things that I would point you to first are a cadence that has reading and math, actually, and is really great. You can download it for free. Dibbles 8, D-I-B-E-L-S, Dynamic Indicators of Basic Early Literacy Skills, if you'd like to know the whole acronym there. And Easy CBM. Those three are very good. They have a research base. They have norms. You will be able to know in relation to other peers the same age, how that child is doing, in just one area, reading, just a quick tell of what they need to know, and where they are working. That's going to give you a good, beginning base. And I always, when I'm teaching teachers or administrators or anybody about reading, what I say is this is the blood pressure test of reading. And so anytime you go to the doctor, the first thing they do is take your blood pressure. It doesn't matter if you're there for a physical or because you're sick or whatever reason, they do it every single time. The reason they do it is because the blood pressure test is so reliable. They can be assured that if something doesn't look good there, perhaps there's something else that they may need to look into. And that's what Acadian Stibbles and Easy CBM are. And these tests are, you're not going to see differences. They're like same variations. It's just a different, version. Acadian Stibbles are the exact same tests. They have just split off And so it is the same test that you administer. Easy CBM does give you a couple of extra things that the others don't. And I'll go into all of that with my course if you need to know more deeply about those things. So then once you've given that, and that is those you can use from kindergarten all the way up through 12th in some cases on that. Generally, we use those as screeners for K-8. Only if you're looking for foundational holes. These are not for kids that are already reading. These are for kids to figure out why they're not reading as well as you would like them to. So then once you do that, you would do one more step, which is a phonics screener. And that's kind of the next level. So let's go back to our blood pressure test again. If the blood pressure reading is high, your doctor's often going to order something additional to check to see if something else is going on that's causing the high blood pressure. A phonics screener is going to do that for you. So it's going to give you just a little more information about where exactly they're working within some of their skills, what they know, what they don't know. And then once you have all of that information, then you need resources.
Yeah.
So then matching the resource becomes the important part. So important that I wrote a whole book about it.
I'm telling you, she loves this
stuff. I do love this stuff. I have a book. It is called Matching Reading Data to Interventions, A Simple Tool for Elementary Educators. And the reason we wrote that is because this is what was happening in every school we were going into. They had the assessments. They had really great resources. They had no idea what matched to what.
Yeah.
And so they're using the wrong resource for the wrong problem.
Yeah, they're not matched.
They're not matched.
They're not paired up.
And so when that happens, of course, then you think the resource isn't working. Well, it's not necessarily the resource. You just haven't found the root of the problem mm-hmm. and matched it correctly. And so the book outlines how to do that. And the tool that we use is free. And it's, you'd need some understanding behind it. But knowing what resource to use is the pivotal piece after figuring out what skill is missing on the assessment. So there's lots of resources out there. I'm just going to name a few, and maybe you've heard of them, or maybe this is going to spark you to go take a look and reach out for more information. But Letters is something that is out there right now in many states, L-E-T-R-S. And that is essentially like a college class for understanding the five components of reading mm-hmm. plus writing. So it is going to teach you everything you want to know about the science of reading. It's great. It is a course. And you're going to get lots of strategies with it, but it's a pretty intense course.
I'm sorry, it's pretty extensive.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
And if you're in public education, it is highly likely that your state is offering this at mm-hmm. the moment. It is offered in a lot of states. And it's great. So if someone comes to you and says, should I take letters? Yeah, my answer is yes.
Let me ask you a question as a reading expert. Yep. Do you see, I know what I think your answer is going to be, but I just want to ask. So for like people that might be listening, that might be educators of older students, mm-hmm. is there an age limit to that? Like if you taught fifth grade, you might not go, or if you taught uh-huh. sixth grade,
yeah.
Do you see there being a cap to that information or that knowledge?
That's a good question. So I think no matter what stage you're at, you're going to have kids that are not yeah. proficient readers. I think once you get into high school, your content people are probably not going to spend,
yeah.
they're not going to be able to spend that. And hopefully mm-hmm. there's other interventions available for kids that are not yeah. reading. But the thing about letters is that it goes all the way from like the history of reading and what we know about it, how the brain processes reading, and then all the five components. So it'll tell you all about the phonology system and the sounds and what those sounds sound like and how they connect. And then it cooks to phonics and how the letters play into that and its different areas of the brain and how those come together and how with our dyslexic students and our complex reading students, they that pathway is not the way it should be. So you have to rework it. And so it's going to do that. And it's going to get into comprehension. It's going to get into vocabulary. It's going to get into fluency. It's going to get into writing. So it gives you a really good, what you never learned in college, probably.
Yeah. And what you should have learned.
And what you should have learned.
And that's what I was going to say. I mean, I definitely have more of an older student vantage point, right? But I would say, especially to those micro school leaders out there, this is something you would want anybody, I feel like everybody needs to know the information, because especially in these smaller schools where, you know, it's looking more like the one room schoolhouse and those kind that kind of setup. I just think it's really cool to have that knowledge, because you know you can help any kid, and that's just a good feeling. Like to be able to serve all the kiddos well. So even though some of this stuff I will say that she's going to talk about, when you might talk about it or you might hear from others, you might see a lot of primary, like if you're online, you might see a lot of primary teachers talking about it or utilizing it. And I think by and large, that's probably right.
Elementary, I would say for sure, but is the target.
But I would absolutely say that there would, in my career, I have not been in a situation where I have never had students through middle school that couldn't use all of these resources. And that's really, just know that.
I would say in my work as a consultant, I put all of these practices in K-8. I mean, if there's a district working, it looks the same K-8 for kids that are struggling. Anyway, so letters, yes, big fan. Hegarty is another one for phonological awareness. And that's just like working with sounds without letters. And so some rhyming and being able to segment words. Segmenting is actually the biggest piece. So if you get a word like fish, a kid should be able to say fish and take all the phonemes apart. Obviously Hooked to Spelling. And that is a good program. It doesn't have a overly strong research base to it, but I like it because it's easy for teachers to implement and you don't have to know a ton about phonological to do it well. And it's still good for kids.
It's really good for kids. And I think it gives you, that phonological piece is really important. And I think sometimes it's skipped a lot. Right. And I would say, in watching teachers use that, throughout, I mean, we were using that however many years ago at my last elementary school. It is a really good indicator of who's going to struggle.
For sure.
I mean, because if they don't get that phonological piece, like if they cannot hear the sounds in fish, like, you know, like
it'll be tough. So it is the foundation of reading, right? And so this is JK1. Like, these kids need that. And really, you know, 20 hours of it over their preschool through kindergarten years is usually pretty solid for a typically developing student. This is very difficult for students who struggle. So we're not going to go deep into that, but Hegarty is a resource. For phonics, there are fantastic resources out there right now, really more than there have ever been, and lots of free things available. UFLY is a resource that is does cost money. It's about $70. UFLI, $70. You're going to get the whole program for K-1 and above if they're struggling. And the resources online are all free. So you can use a lot of the resources without even having the manual, actually. But the manual is great. And Dr. Holly Lane and crew out of the University of Florida are amazing. And so that is a resource that is worth paying for. Sound Partners is another one that I have used for years and years, and I still fall back on it. It is another resource that is easily implementable. And that's a key thing when I'm working with schools and teachers. I want it to be easy. No one has more time. No one has time to learn a big long program. That one's easy to learn.
It's, and it's so great easy, for kids. Wanda can do it and love it.
Oh my gosh. And it's another one that's not very expensive.
It's Wanda proof.
It's Wanda proof. Oh my gosh. Yep. And I mean, this is not like the most exciting material you're ever going to teach in your life. But hear me say that. This is not, you know, all teachers who have not been doing phonics a lot, they're like, oh my gosh, it's so boring. And I'm like, well, yeah. I mean,
except you know what? I like it.
Well, I do too. Which but
may
that's
say
my,
something about Wanda.
Yeah.
What I like monotonous. Is because it, well, it is monotonous, mm-hmm. but the kids that need it,
they need
that
it.
Are struggling with reading.
Yep, they need it.
They don't think it's monotonous.
No.
And it is, I have learned so much about their mm-hmm. brains
yeah.
doing that right. program. Mm-hmm. It is unbelievable to me.
I know.
Like, I mean, we were just talking, mm-hmm. I was just getting your advice on something mm-hmm. before we even started, mm-hmm. like just right before this podcast, mm-hmm. because it just blows my mind. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know if there was another way, if I wasn't doing it right, if I needed to change, like,
yeah.
but what it is so, it, you write, you talk, you look, you, I mean, all these different senses are involved in right. this program, and there's a fancy word for that. And I can't remember what it
encoding
is.
Encoding and decoding.
Thank you. That's what, yeah. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Decoding and, is reading, encoding is writing.
Yeah, I knew that, but I'm 50
yeah.
and I forgot. Anyhow. But what I like is it's kind of like you can see right there, you can do it as a group, right?
Yeah.
And I can see what every kid is doing mm-hmm. and exactly where they are. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And because it's consistent and you're doing it over time, you yeah. can see the growth, you can see what they're getting, you can see what they're not.
Yeah.
And it does incorporate no excuse words.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And that's yeah, yeah. a big thing yeah. for me.
Sight words, heart words.
Especially for the older kids.
Yeah. That's all really important.
All right, and then Wanda's sitting back
decodable,
now. Carry on.
Decodable readers is the last one. They can't just do all the skills. They gotta read it in a decodable passage and also in other passages. And we're talking like 20 minutes a day here. You know, this is not, you're not going to spend an hour on this stuff. This is 20, 30 minutes a day where you're just giving them that piece that they need. And the kids are going to be in different points in all of those programs. You can't just start them all in one mm-hmm. and move forward, which is what ties back to the assessment. Another great resource that is free that will help with all components of reading is FCRR.org, Florida Center for Reading Research.org. If you go to student center activities there, you are going to find a plethora of awesome activities throughout the components, organized by grade level. They're fun games that you can play with kids. Kids can play with each other, and they're all really solid activities. So there's not fluff in there. There's nothing that wouldn't be great for kids wherever they are. And you just print it and cut it and go. And that is fantastic. So again, you would match that to the assessment. Two online things that you can get that do cost. Well, eSpark is free. So eSpark has a free version. Kids can work in reading and math, and that works more on standards. That is something that you can do, or you can pay for that, and then you will get more reports on how they're doing within their standards. I use that for my younger kids.
Yeah, I don't use that one.
Mm-hmm. And then we personally here at our school use IXL for the upper grades.
And I really like it.
Yeah. You know, they've upped their game. They mm-hmm. have normed their work.
That piece is uh-huh. huge.
And of course, you know, with any computer-based program, I get a little leery because it's also about effort and how much they want to try and how quickly they're going. And, you know, all those things come into a computer-based program.
Oh, for sure.
And so I still will fall back on paper pencil for foundational skills and things like that, because I want to hear them and I want to be with them and I want to yes. see what they're doing. But to practice the standards that they're missing or work with, you know, it will, these two things will adjust to where they're working.
Yeah. And the IXL gives you really good diagnostic reports. Yes. I mean, like yeah. it's really good about breaking standards down, what level of standard that, you know, a kiddo might be missing. Mm-hmm. So I like that piece of it. It's one of those, you know, programs that adapts to the student So just because they're in third grade, it goes, it moves up and down within and out and within and out of standards, depending on where kiddos are.
Yeah.
So I really like that piece and I like the reports that it gives. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I totally agree. The other, it's not,
you just have to keep in mind.
You just have to keep it's in mind. It's a computer program. Like when you get results, you'll say, oh, well, yeah, Susan didn't do well. And that's because Susan has zero motivation independently and she's never going to sit in front of a computer and read. And as long as you're communicating that with Susan's parents, then, but I mean, for those kids that, you know, have no problem sitting and doing some kind of additional self work towards standards, that's,
yeah, it's great.
It's really great.
And if you're a micro school and you're part of the National Micro Schooling Center, and if you're not, you should be. I think it's $100 to join them. But my gosh, they're great. Shout out to them out in Nevada. They're they're doing great work, and they are partnering with a lot of these companies to give us pricing that works for us. You know, we don't have 1,000 kids, and we don't have endless amounts of money. And they're working with these companies to get great deals and great pricing for micro schools. So if you're not a member, I would encourage you to be a member. IXL is one of the things that we get for a very reasonable price for our kids. And then my favorite fluency program is Read Naturally. If kids are needing practice with fluent reading, if they're if they've worked through their phonic skills and they're just trying to get more fluent, Read Naturally is great. Now, I will tell you, that one's more costly.
Yeah.
And I should talk to the center and see if they can get a deal with them and try to get it. It's not like we've purchased it before. It's not unreasonable, but it is a little more costly per student. Worth it, in my opinion, but it's maybe not something you're going to spend a lot of money on right away. And I would want to help coach you before you buy that, because if you don't have enough kids ready for that, it would be wasted money until you're ready.
Yeah, I think if you don't have enough kids and if you don't have a process figured out in terms of how you're going to use it and the assessment, it's money, wasted.
If you just don't want to spend it yet.
Because they're not going to get on the computer and just be independent. Correct. Like, you have got to be engaged. So like if you're a smaller school and human capital is hard to find sometimes, then I would definitely reach out to Jill and just kind of problem solve, because they'll need that, that instruction simultaneously from.
So when you're ready for it, it's a great program to add. I just, when I'm working with people, we determine when to add it. But when you're ready, it's really great. Now, as far as just curriculum online, I see a lot of like, what can I get? What can I get for reasonable prices? There are two things that are free that are good. CKLA Dynamite. Is one. It's really good. They have their entire version. It's an older version, but they have it all online. You can download it and use all of the lessons. It's very good. There's a foundational piece which goes through phonics and phonemic awareness, and then there's also a whole comprehension piece. Personally, we use the comprehension piece because we use other things for phonics, but it is really good. And there are different units for different grade levels. You can the great thing about being a micro school is you can pick and choose.
Yes.
What you want to use, when you want to use it, the grade levels that you want to use. So just know that's out there.
You think they hear the children in the background practicing their theater? Hey, I just want you guys to know all the children are safe and okay. If you hear that,
if you hear a scream, pay no mind.
No, don't worry about the screaming. They're
doing theater this morning.
Yeah, that's what they're doing right now, and they're very excited about it.
They are. The other one that I would point you towards is Fish Tank. It's also got a lot of great free curriculum online across not just reading. There are some other things as well. And then, of course, great chapter books and project-based learning, which is a whole nother topic. I think we have a long ago episode on project-based learning, but project-based learning is amazing, and it should be a part of your daily life. That would be another thing to encourage getting standards in. So that was a lot. That was a lot on the five components, but that's a place for you to kind of get started and do a little research. And then, you know, once you've got your assessment done and you've picked some resources, then matching them is giving the right medicine to the right need. And you then help kids through either a small group interaction, one-on-one, or you do some things whole group if a lot of the kids need the same thing. So that is it in a nutshell. I promise that the course is coming. And there'll be coaching available to help you with that. There's so much to teach. It's definitely not possible to get into one or even 10 episodes. But the book is helpful. You can get that on Amazon or through Rutledge, where we published Matching Reading Data to Interventions, a simple tool for elementary educators. It's also on our website. But that'll give you some good background too as to what's coming. And we have the Show Me Conference coming up.
I'm so excited.
I know. We every year host a Science of Reading conference, and Dr. Holly Lane will be talking, the UFLY creator. She'll be here with us, and Dr. Matthew Burns will be here with us, who's also another big name in the science of reading. Dr. Kimiana Burke is coming. She led the efforts to help turn around reading in the state of Mississippi, and is still doing great policy work out there. So if you're into big implementation, that she's going to talk about that. And that is happening on May 6th and 7th in Columbia, Missouri. And there are still some tickets available. There are so many great breakout sessions, and those are all listed on our website. So if you go to www.kaleedco.com, kaleedco.com, you'll see all about the conference. There's a whole page for it. There's a whole list of the agenda and who's going to be at the breakout and what the breakouts are going to be about. So if you're into science of reading and you want to know more about dyslexic and complex reading problems and all the things that go with that, you should come. It's only $200.
And if you're still listening to this podcast, I know, 36, you are into that.
Minutes, you
maybe
are into
you did
it.
Not know you were into it, but let me tell you something.
You are now,
36
friend.
Minutes into this reading Woo! Podcast, if you're still on,
you should come to the conference.
You should come to the conference.
Come to the conference. It is attended by people across the United States and even Canada last year. So we hope to see our Canadian friends again. And if you listen to this and have some questions about assessment and or anything else, you can always reach me at my email, jill@comocale.com. jill@comocale.com. Happy to connect and
if you want to just reach out to me just because I'm fun.
She's more fun. Susan@comocale.
Not Wanda. It's really
I should change
Susan.
It to Wanda, but I haven't yet. I haven't yet. Okay, friends, thanks for being with us today. We hope that was helpful, and we will see you next time.